Nolan's work. I think the first two Batman films are amazing. I didn't really want to see Catwoman because I don't think it fits into a real world.
But yeah, but Anne Hathaway.
I have to have trust in the guy. He certainly knows what he's doing, and I like Anne Hathaway. Big part for her. And Tom Hardy, who starred in the movie Bronson, an independent film, he got great reviews, and co-starred in Inception. This guy's a really interesting, intense actor. He's going to play a character called Bane, a guy who broke Batman's back in the comic book. So no Riddler, no Penguin, no real big villains other than Catwoman. So Anne Hathaway's going to be Selena Kyle, Catwoman, Tom Hardy, Bane. The movie comes out July 20th, 2012, starts filming, I believe, April.
I can't
Christian
wait.
Bale will be back as Batman, Michael Keane back as
Anne
Alfred.
Hathaway will be great. Great. All right, here's Liz in Seattle. Liz, what do you think that movie was?
Raising Kane.
Nice try, but No, not at all. Here's Mark in Lake Havasu. Mark, what's the movie?
Hey, guys, that's Thelma and Louise.
It is, yay! Absolutely Thelma and Louise with Brad Pitt's butt, and they drive off the cliff in that last clip. It's 58 past the hour. Thank you, Chucker.
Cable TV rates continue to skyrocket higher and higher, and the profit-hungry cable giants have pushed consumers around long enough. It's time to push back. Cut the cable and get Dish Network installed free with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. It's just $24.99 a month for an entire year. That's right. Call now and get Dish Network professionally installed for free, plus an HD video recorder for free, over 15 premium channels, HD free for life. And if you call in right now, Dish will throw in HBO and Showtime free for 3 months. Dish Network is waiting for your call and can have you watching TV as soon as tomorrow. Call 800-696-2921. Imagine all your favorite movies, sports, and shows in crystal clear digital quality for far less money, and you won't have to deal with a cable company anymore. At $24.99, they're giving it away. Call now for full details. Call 800-696-2921. That's 800-696-2921. Again, 800-696-2921.
You're listening to Utah's first number one talk station, K-Talk, AM 630, KTKK, Sandy, Salt Lake City. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, President Obama thinks he's got a plan to create jobs for Americans. CNN's Bob Costantini reports the president will go to Schenectady, New York, the home of General Electric, to announce he's forming a new council on jobs.
GE's CEO Jeffrey Immelt was part of the American Business Leaders delegation this week, which finalized deals to send U.S. goods to China. That was a key achievement of President Hu Jintao's state visit. Today, Mr. Obama goes to Schenectady, where GE plans to expand green energy work.
What do you think? Is the economy in good shape right now? A new CNN opinion research survey found only 24% answered yes to that question. That is 6 points higher than November. Detroit's school system is considering a General Motors-type restructuring plan to deal with a massive deficit. The district's financial director, Robert Bob, closed 59 schools, but high school teacher Edna Reeves says it's not enough.
He hasn't achieved what he came here for, and that's to reduce the deficit. It's grown since he's been here. And I have a problem with that. I cannot give you an excellent mark if you haven't accomplished your task.
Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords will be leaving for Houston shortly to continue her recovery. It's been almost 2 weeks since she was shot in the head. CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta says Giffords still has a tube in her throat, which affects her ability to speak.
She's receiving communication well. She's been able to do things, shows awareness, follows commands. But just how well will she be able to actually express herself, speech-wise, written communication, gestures.
Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair is being accused of rushing into the war in Iraq because of pressure from President Bush. Blair is being challenged today by a panel that's investigating Britain's role in the war. Blair says Saddam Hussein could not be trusted. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Home Depot Renew and Redo Bath event, save on stylish bath updates, like a Savannah 24-inch cognac vanity set, valued at $249, now just $99, a price that'll transform your bathroom and leave room in your budget for even more improvements, like new faucets, lights, and paint. We're lowering the cost of makeovers now at the bath event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Right now, the Home Depot has 10% off appliances valued at $398 or more. And saving gets even easier with free haul-away and delivery that's really free. Just pick out the latest from GE, Maytag, or LG and let the delivery guys do the rest. We're lowering the cost of an easier upgrade with 10% off appliances. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through January 26, U.S. only. See store for details.
My heartburn was like a pilot light in my chest. I never knew when it would flare up. Until I found Zegrid OTC, the only 24-hour frequent heartburn treatment with two active ingredients, a prescription-strength acid blocker, plus an ingredient that protects the medicine from stomach acid. Just one Zegrid OTC capsule a day controlled my pilot light. So if yours keeps flaring up, try dual-ingredient Zegrid OTC.
Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn. Go to ZegridOTC.com for coupon savings.
Hey, this is Tim, your host of Buyback America Radio here on K-Talk Radio, AM 630. K-Talk and I decided that we would reward our listeners with something very special for Valentine's. So I teamed up with American-owned businesses, the businesses that matter in your community, like Texas Roadhouse in Sandy, the Avon Retail Store in American Fork, Flower Patch with 8 locations serving you. We decided we wanted to help people have a great Valentine's. So all you have to do is send me your love story, and we'll pick winners on Valentine's Day to pick up a pre-made Valentine's package. We'll be giving out Valentine's gifts all day to different callers. You can send me that at tim@buybackamerica.com. tim@buybackamerica.com. As I said, all I want to hear is your love story, and you have a chance to win Valentine's on Buyback America Radio with K-Talk.
Do you love getting great value almost as much as you love great food? You'll discover both at Madeline Steakhouse and Grill. Family-owned and operated, your hosts Adam and Renee Wheaton take pride in providing the exceptional dining experience for lunch, dinner, banquets, and catering. From the moment you arrive, it's obvious that Madeline Steakhouse and Grill is no franchise. Everything about Madeline's, from the ambiance to the mouth-watering steaks grilled to perfection, sumptuous salmon, halibut crab, and generous portions, will leave you believing you've entered culinary heaven. You simply cannot beat the value Madeline Steakhouse and Grill offers. Located in South Jordan, west of I-15, at 1133 West and 106 South. Bring your friends and family together for the holidays. Madeline's offers the ideal accommodations for wedding banquets, corporate meetings, and just about any social gathering imaginable. Make your reservations for tonight. Call today, 801-446-6639. That's 801-446-6639. Come to Madeline's and build memories that will last a lifetime.
Jack Stockwell!
Broadcasting live from the KTKK studios in Salt Lake City, Utah, this is the Jack Stockwell radio program. To contact Jack from Salt Lake City, dial 254-5855. And now the consummate voice of sense and sensibility himself, Jack Stockwell.
Scared you, didn't I? 7:07 in just 15 seconds or so. Good afternoon, everybody. Oh, let's turn that down a little bit. There's no Jack present today, and there's no substitute for Jack in reality. I kind of learned that, relearned that fact a couple weeks ago, and I'm not just blowing smoke at him or anything. Jack is a unique talent, a unique kind of radio voice, very relaxed, very, very measured in his pacing, and he's kind of a comforting voice in the morning, and people habituate to his voice. There's your first $64 word for today. But he's not here today, and not to fill his shoes, but to do something perhaps a little different and with a little different tempo, and something that may, you know, you ultimately and rile you. Even my most ardent listeners become incensed at me from time to time. My name is Dale Williams. Most of you recognize the voice. Others are just passing by in the freeway in Utah and wondering what the heck they've stumbled onto. You have got, let me pull this over just a moment, you have arrived at AM 630, which from time to time is a station that diverges in a really remarkable way from any other station I know of. In other words, we'll tell the truth, depending on your point of view. And that's why I say time from time to time, because most of the staff down here don't agree on a lot of things. But, you know, we're all striving to be unfiltered, I would say, all of us. That might be a common thread, or at least to feel the latitude to do so. This morning, I have Clint Richardson with me. He's been a guest on Jack Stockwell's show. Jack, by the way, will be back on Monday. I have Clint with me because I value his presence on the radio, or really in any context. He is the author, the creator of the documentary The Corporation Nation, and that can be seen at the website of the same name, .com. We want to talk about Utah this morning. Now, let me just kind of give you a rundown before the old Alzheimer's kicks in again. Sometime this hour, we hope to be joined by another guest of Jack Stockwell, one John Green. Maybe mid-hour or so, we'll get John Green coming in for a few minutes and talking to us about any late updates with the fusion centers, with the human registration program that is an important part. I mean, it is what would you call it? Well, it's the direct action plan of the corporate state that Clint Richardson is investigating. So we're going to take a two-pronged look at that. If you're able to stay with us for the second hour, 8 o'clock, we bring in the great writer Michael Gatti, often featured times past on LouRockwell.com, 30-year veteran of the United States Army, 4 years with the NSA, and we're going to out some things about what happened between the founding of this country and the institution of its constitution. But anyway, good morning to you, Clint Richardson. How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me again. Would you not call that the mark of the beast, or at least some of your listeners might?
What's that now? Mark of the beast?
Well, your Arizona national ID birth certificate thing.
Oh boy. Wait till you talk. I have on tap, and I sure hope you can come in and talk with us in about 25 minutes. John Green is one of, I would say, a dozen of authorities in the country, outside of the system, that is, that are looking at the system, trying to understand it. There's a real parallel, Clint, between what John does and what you do. You're over on the financial end of things, feeling around, sort of blindfolded, as it were, feeling around the edges of the elephant, trying to figure what kind of organism you're actually. I mean, this is a forensic process. This is going in. There's some grand design here with this thing, and people freelance with limited resources, civilians, unfunded, are feeling around trying to figure out what it is. That's why I like what you do.
Well, absolutely. It is, and I will, you know, premise this, say I don't have a financial background. I don't have a business background. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm horrible at business because I'm a good person. And so it's really hard to compete in a business atmosphere that we have today, because ethics, morals, values, all that is gone, especially from government and most private corporations out there. So if you have a corporate job, the only way to get ahead is to lie, cheat, and steal, essentially. So yeah, I do have a very powerful tool, which is logic, reason, and the ability to translate things into what normal people can understand. And so we're going to take a look at some of these reports today, and anybody that lives within Salt Lake County, chances are we're going to go over the city that you live in and actually tell you how wealthy that city is.
And before we dig into some of those details, by the way, I'm not saying we're not going to take a call or two if somebody's really agitated. Let me throw that number out. I'm not sure exactly when we'll get to you. I'll certainly speak with you off air as well. 801-254-5855 will get you on the air today, generally speaking. But before we get into any details about the cities in Utah, about their pension funds and what have you, and their vast portfolios, how do you rate the general fiscal health of the state of Utah? And I didn't really ask you to look into that, but is your sense is that they're up in the black? Okay.
All states are in the black. There is no this whole thing about municipalities, states, and counties being bankrupt and being in the red is strictly based on the taxpayer budget. And a taxpayer budget strictly represents what the taxpayers pay and what the government spends in taxpayer money or future monies or bonds that are floated upon future taxpayer money. So that doesn't account for the years and years and years that government has been saving, investing, and putting into funds all of this money. So what we're talking about is vast amounts of wealth that the government holds. But no one knows about this because no one knows to look at the actual comprehensive annual financial report, which is the full accounting of government finance, which is not reported to you, the people, at all in any way, because there is this syndicated sort of cooperational effort going on between the media, your mainstream media, and the government. And the truth of the matter is that they have investments. The government actually has controlling stock investments in the media companies.
Oh, okay. So it's a little bit like when I was watching NBC on broadcast television last night, and Brian Williams had a round table of Brent Scowcroft, Colin Powell, Vice President Cheney, the former President George H.W. Bush, the whole cabal that ran the 1991 war with Iraq, and just couldn't quite spit out a question about why did y'all lie your fannies off about this. It's a little bit like that, right?
Absolutely. Well, you have to consider that, I mean, you have to, if you're going to have a communist state, which make no doubt we're in a communist state, if you think you're free, you're sadly mistaken. When you have a communist state, the most important thing to control is the propaganda arm of that state. And so, yes, besides the fact that, we could get into the Zionist aspect where all these media companies, there's like six companies, maybe five now, that own all or 99% of major media outlets out there. But then you see the investment portfolio and you find that it's institutional funds, meaning that it's, 70 to 90% owned by government, which means that they proxy vote on who the board of directors are going to be, and mergers and acquisitions and all the decisions that go on within the corporation are done by the president and the board. Well, the government is electing the board through proxy vote, which then turns around and hires and fires the CEO. So right. Government really controls these corporations.
Yeah, no, the human society, we're very apt to say, the same old cycles happen in human society, and they do. The rise of empires, then they implode on themselves, they get top-heavy. That cycle happens, but there are major changes within that cycle. And one of the changes in my mind, there has been a perfection institutionally within these power centers in the world. The centers that form the League of Nations, then the United Nations, the ones that are moving us, the various elements that are moving us towards global government, towards consolidated government, they have become much more perfected in their grasp of the idea that it is the mind of man that has to be controlled. And then as a backup, if that fails, if school book publishing, control of curriculum, the radio, the television, the recording industry, the video game industry, and all the whole boat doesn't work, you have as a backup the physical control grid, which is what we're going to talk hopefully with John Green a little bit about for a few minutes. But the primary control, primary armature of the control grid or the control apparatus is this thing where you control the information. And it is not inappropriate in my mind to mention the fact that Israeli nationals are right in the middle, always right in the middle of that. The great media empires trace back. You can go back and find that their heads, the people appointed over them, are either dual citizens or both. They're triple citizens, both Israel, America, and the New World Order. But we'll get back and talk about the CAFR as we roll back into this morning show. Stay with us.
AM 630, K-Talk, where Utah talks and Utah listens.
Is your family adequately protected against your death or incapacity? Would you like to protect your children's inheritance from judgments, a divorcing spouse, or even bankruptcy? Naturally, most people believe estate planning is about helping the rich avoid the tax man or helping the elderly distribute their assets at death. However, an even greater benefit can be the incapacity planning, probate avoidance, and family protection and privacy aspects of a good estate plan. Call Jim Alder of Alder & Robb today at 801-463-2600, where we take the time to listen to your concerns and aspirations and assume that your situation is unique. We'll customize your estate plan to ensure that it will protect you and your family from incapacity, probate, and the tax man. Go to our website today at www.alderrobb.com or call Jim Alder at 801-463-2600, where estate planning is not about what you own, but what you value.
It's so cold now. Time to service or replace your old furnace? Save time and money. Call Acme Heating and Air Conditioning, offering superior service and installation unmatched in the industry. No patchwork here. We always strive to repair before we replace. If it's time for a new furnace or boiler, we offer quality at pricing that will leave you smiling. If a competitor has serviced your heating or cooling system in the past year, we'll credit 50% of what you paid, up to $500 towards a new Acme heating or air conditioning system. And while supplies last, have a new single-stage 95% efficiency rated furnace installed for as little as $1,500. Receive a free humidifier with the installation of any new furnace, plus a 2-year parts and labor warranty and emergency 24-hour service. Cash in on the huge tax and utility credits. Call Acme today, 801-467-1050 for upfront pricing with no surprises. Call today, 801-467-1050, 801-467-1050.
The Voice of Utah, AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk. I see the bad moon
horizon. Okay, that's us coming up at 720. Coming up to 720 AM, it's Dale Williams sitting in for Jack Stockwell. I've got Clint Richardson, the documentarian, in studio with me, and we will have John Green, the expert on the national ID, coming in hopefully in 10 or 15 minutes to chat with us. But I just wanted to start out again, Clint, going back off of the tangent, getting away from the tangent. My question was, I understand, my sources indicate that the food tax, state of Utah, which is hated, and which Governor Huntsman knocked down a little bit when he was governor. The potentates, the Lord Jims that people are federal legislature, are talking about raising it again. Now, what? How are they going to lever that? I suppose they're going to say that the state, we want to make sure that the state stays in the black and all that. We need it in schools and kids and teachers and all that. Come at us as a CAFR, a guy who's been studying the comprehensive annual financial report of other states and other cities, municipalities. Talk to us a little bit about why that argument might not be valid.
Well, let's define what taxation is. Okay, if you ask someone what taxation is, you're going to get a variety of different answers. But the truth, the real definition, comes down to two words. It is revenue generation. There's nothing more to taxation. It is not necessary. It is not. It very seldom actually benefits the people, to be honest. And so, when you consider that this is just the corporate structure gaining more revenue, it becomes a different animal. Now, if they tell you that it's to help schools, well, that's untrue, because each school district is its own government. Therefore, it has its own financial statements, and you can look those up as well. Mm-hmm. The lottery is another really good example of something that doesn't really help schools. They do put it into school funds, but then that fund just keeps building and building and building, and you find that that's actually a separate government with its own comprehensive annual financial reports. So you can see that there's all kinds of different governments within the state. Utah, for instance, has the liquor corporation. It's actually a corporation that is the they actually call it on their website a monopolistic corporation, which it's true. They have the monopoly on liquor in the state, and they make a massive profit off that. We're talking about the state government making a profit off of not only the tax, but the alcohol that it sells. And it is a very profitable business for the state. So what we're talking about is a business entity. And along those lines, it is raising that tax because it hasn't done it in a while, and people will accept it. It's revenue generation.
Right. So, and I don't know what it is right now. It's in the sixes, maybe. We're talking about bumping it a quarter or half a percent, this incremental
That's
little
huge.
Thing. And, of course, it's the revenues from it will be huge, but people will just bicker or grumble a little bit about it in their own lives and just say, man, it just never fails. But they're going to justify it in a discussion that is centered on budgetary soundness. And that's a lot of baloney, yes?
Well, absolutely, because, again, going back to the reports, you know, they are telling us, based on what they give us, which is the taxpayer budget, again, tax in, tax out, mm-hmm. doesn't account for anything else, which we're going to get into in a moment. But, I haven't found one government for 2010 that is in the black, in the red, excuse me. They all have assets that far, far, far exceed their liabilities. In other words, if you're a person and you have loans and everything else, you own your home, you have assets in the value of your home, your cash, your investments that are more than the liabilities against them. Okay? That's where government is sitting, and it's usually in the millions or billions that their assets exceed liabilities.
Well, let's war game this just a little bit. Let's say now instead of the big redheaded dude trying to wake up, I'm actually an attorney in the employ of the state, or I'm a bureaucrat.
Well,
or
then
both.
You're no longer my friend.
Well, yeah, right. Anyway, and I'm my job is to sit here and condescend to you and say, you know, you were right, Clint, when you said you have a layperson's grasp of this. How in the heck do you think that we're going to use the monies from the pension fund? How do you propose, Clint, we're going to commingle those and start to serve the needs of the general fund, or you know, the to pay for police out of a, I mean, structurally that's not only not possible, Clint, it's not legal.
People do say that about Walter Burian's plan, which is the tax retirement fund. They are mistaken in thinking that it's actually taking money out of the pension funds. But in truth, it's actually modeled after the pension fund, which is by far the most successful way of making money, system of making money in the world, the pension fund system. And to prove that, I just happened to, in part two of the Corporation Nation, which I'm producing right now, I pulled up all 50 states' pension funds, mm-hmm. The major pension funds, which are usually the teachers' retirement systems and the school employees and the employees' retirement systems, which is generally the county and state employees. Mm-hmm. And so let me just go down the list, just so we dispel the myth of whether or not governments are broke and
right.
whether
California.
Or not pension funds
California
are broke.
Is in desperate
no,
situation,
not.
According to the mass media.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not. I will disagree with you
100%. Yeah, I'm just recapitulating what I've heard.
Let's talk about what a pension fund is. First of all, pension funds, you as an employer, a state employee, a county employee, are contributing a small amount to the pension fund. But then the actual office that you work for, the government office that you work for, whether it's unemployment development, DMV, whatever, whoever you work for, is also contributing to that fund on your, they say it's on your behalf, but it's not. So what you've got is say you as an employee contribute $10,000 to the fund. Well, that government might also be contributing up to $100,000 in your behalf, or using you to contribute that money. The problem is that's not your money. That is still government money. The worst part about that is, Dale, maybe you can answer this. What source of revenue funds government offices? Would it be The revenue generation we talked about earlier.
Oh no, it's gotta be taxation.
So
yeah.
All of that $100,000 on top of the $10,000 that the employee's putting on is taxpayer money. Money coming out of your pocket, and that's what they're saying is underfunded.
Right. Okay. They're isolating their economic activities. They're putting firewalls, they're putting borders. It's a compartmentalization thing. Let's dumb it down a little bit. These institutions are the repository of wealth at this point between the banks and these institutions, which are both government and businesses at the same time. They are where the wealth reposes, and the way they have structured themselves is that they have like a private reserve. These pension funds or whatever else cheek by jowl with the pension funds. Those financial elements that cannot be applied to the operating costs of the government are like the private stock. They're like the wine that you don't give your guests. You only have it for your own family.
Absolutely, and they hide it. Well, I wouldn't even say they hide it. They just don't disclose it to the people because they don't give us this comprehensive annual financial report. They only give us a dumbed down version, again, which is the taxpayer budget. Mm-hmm. And so what you have, again, you have the government investing all kinds of money, piggybacking on the employees, actually benefiting them. Meanwhile, the employees, we have a real problem in this country with employees actually defending the pension fund system because they don't know any better. They don't know they're being absolutely used to build this fund, and they don't know that once that fund declares bankruptcy, and I guarantee you there's going to be a time when they start saying, oh, we're bankrupt, which is not going to be true, mm-hmm. but once they do that, these employees aren't going to have any money left. The retirement's gone. It's a contributory fund. They have contributed their money. They have no interest or equity in that money if there's any kind of bankruptcy or anything like that.
You're saying that the states could easily, a given state like Illinois is supposed to be in terrible trouble financially. They could basically absolve themselves of any future obligation to pay their pensioners.
Yep.
And yet retain this massive portfolio, this opulent level of wealth, and just shelter it with the bankruptcy and keep going.
Exactly. And who knows where that money – I think truly that's – if you want to know who the shadowy kind of elite people who are pulling the strings on all this financial information, I think the only way to know is to follow the money once they actually do that, because that money is going to go somewhere. It's not going to just disappear. It's not going to be negated. It's going to go somewhere. And that's – once you have that, I think you'll really see what's going on. It'll probably go to banks. It'll stay within government. But what's really happening with these pension funds is they're paying massive, massive fees and commissions to all of these banks and companies that trade. So each pension fund, and we're talking, I'm guessing, thousands of funds. I know of 430 different funds in the United States, but each little individual municipality, city, county, township, and everything else also have pension funds. Even water districts have pension funds. So they're all over the place.
Right.
Okay. So I'm just going to go down the list here, and I'm going to read you my research in the last – I actually spent 5 days pulling up these CAFRs because it's not an easy task.
And we're about a minute out from break just to give you your waypoint.
Well, let's wait then.
Okay.
Because it's a longer list.
All right. I'll make one other comment. And again, this just – I'm just a guy that sits in the coffee shop and says, petulant, obstreperous sorts of comments and tries to rile people, I guess. And, I don't have a lot of experience in a bureaucracy, but I am smart enough to know that when the federal government wanted to raid the Social Security Fund and sort of commingle it with the general fund, it just put an IOU in there. It just did it. It defines the scope of its own power anyway, which is everything this country was not meant to be. But it just took that money and put a piece of paper and said IOU in its place. There's no money in the Social Security Fund, is there?
That's one of the things I want to look at. The problem with the federal government is, there's all kinds of pension funds and these funds as well in the federal government, and I am having real trouble finding it. They have
Here we go.
The only way to get it is Freedom of Information Act, apparently.
Let's come back in a minute. Stay with us. K-Talk Radio, live two-way talk.
AM 630, K-Talk. Defending the Constitution, protecting Utah.
Do you want to learn why you feel sick and have no energy? Isn't it time to get back on your feet and get on with living a happy, fun-filled life? Come to our free health class every Thursday at 5 p.m. at Pioneer Comprehensive Medical Clinic in Draper. The information-filled one-hour class will teach you why we get sick and what to do to get better. The class is held at 12433 South 4th Street in Draper. Call our clinic at 801-576-1086 if you need more information. We will see you Thursday at 5.
Hey, listeners, if you thought airport security was a breach of privacy, you're not going to believe this. The biggest assault on your Fourth Amendment rights has been going on right under your nose for 40 years, and you, like the frog in the pot, have gotten comfortable as the heat got turned up. What am I talking about? The credit ripoff and scoring game. In case you didn't know, the purpose of credit scoring is to make banks and insurance companies more profitable at your expense. If your gut tells you there's something wrong with this system, you better listen. This affects everyone. Good credit, bad credit. Go to radio.ficologic.com and register for the Credit Education Seminar of the Decade and get a free report on the $45 million class action lawsuit that will jolt you out of your trance. The only cost is a donation to the food bank as you enter the seminar. There are simple, easy-to-understand solutions to the problem, and you'll get tons of free information and expert strategies just for attending, especially if you filed bankruptcy, had a foreclosure, or short sale, or may do so. Register now. If you want to cut the strings from the puppet masters at FICO and the big three credit bureaus, go to radio.ficologic.com and see what this is all about. That's www.radio.ficologic.com. Register now. Seating is limited.
Prices Guaranteed Doors is having its 27th anniversary sale. We are rolling prices back to 1984. Remember, a candy bar was only a quarter? A gallon of gas was 75 cents? Well, how about a new half-horsepower garage door opener for only $199? That price includes tax and installation. Add $20 for an 8-foot opener. This is a heavy-duty, half-horsepower Genie chain lift opener with a one-piece drive. How about a new steel entry door, complete with a new frame, new hardware, new trim inside and out, installed with tax for only $295. Don't wait. We can't offer these prices long. Call Prices today. We have free in-home estimates. No one matches our service or our guarantee. Call 975-7575. Prices Doors. That's 975-7575. We are the door specialists since 1984.
Having hair is very personal to the individual. Hair loss can be caused by a number of things, such as stress, illness, chemicals in the environment, or dear old mom and dad. In today's world and job market, personal appearance and self-confidence can make the difference on or off the job. The Art of Hair Restoration is the solution you may be searching for. Do not trust your appearance or future in the hands of untrained people. Hats Off Forever provides clear, honest answers for both men and women with a variety of solutions for hair loss. Call Hats Off Forever today for your free consultation and scalp analysis at 801-208-9548. That's 801-208-9548. Want it? Call them. Get it. Love it. Flaunt it. Hats Off Forever. 801-208-9548. That's 801-208-9548.
The voice of Utah, AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
Whenever you call me, I'll be there.
Okay, no time to waste. I got to keep remembering. Clint, you got to remind me to point my face at this mic. You know, if you turn away, it doesn't sound too good. Anyway, 736. No, it's 737, just a couple of minutes. Okay, John Green is on hold, and John has not had the benefit of listening to the conversation so far. So, Clint, just bring us up to speed. What is it we're driving at, and what is the data point where that you want to let folks know about, or the data set that is so revealing?
Well, first of all, any city that you live in within the Salt Lake has more money than you can possibly imagine tucked away in several different funds, which we'll get to hopefully later. But what we're talking about now is pension funds. And we explained that you know, employers, which is taxpayer money that funds those employers, they're contributing your hard-earned taxpayer money into the pension funds. And that is a wealth-building machine. Now, understand that a pension fund is not a local thing. It's an international thing. You have Australia. You have all of the Commonwealth states. You have South America. You have Chile. You have Greece. You have all of these countries out there have pension funds. They call them different things, but they're all pension funds. And they're all stealing money from people and also contributing taxpayer money on top of that on the backs of the people. It is not does not have anything to do with the person that is collecting retirement benefits. In fact, the list I'm going to read you right now, which is the profits of the pension funds across the United States, the major funds, has nothing to do with what the employee actually contributed. In fact, whatever the employee is contributing goes right back out and pays for retirement benefits. So employee money that's contributed has nothing to do with what I'm about to read. This is just the profit that pension funds are making on their investments. Okay? So let's just start with CalSTRS, which is California.
Oops. And John Green, we're getting right to you, so hold that pose and we'll light you up. We'll light your sound up in just a moment. We're going to go and get some hard data here from Clint just to support our argument we're making. We'll bring your comment on momentarily. Carry on, Clint.
All right, so we have CalSTRS, California State Teachers Retirement System, made an $11.3 billion profit. We have Texas Teachers Retirement System, $7 billion profit as of August 31st, 2009. Washington State Retirement System, which is all retirement systems, $5.7 billion profit. Illinois, the one you mentioned earlier, $2.8 billion profit. Los Angeles, this is Los Angeles County. Again, to stress that it's not just states, but it's also counties, cities, municipalities, and water districts, school districts, all those. We have Los Angeles County Employee Retirement System, which is a pension fund, at $2.9 billion profit.
And this is above and beyond. This is after paying their yearly obligations.
Just return on investment within the fund, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could be being used for budgetary requirements, mm-hmm. us, the people. But instead, it's sitting there building wealth and power.
Mm.
New Jersey Division of Benefits and Pension and Benefits, $4.7 billion. New York State Local Retirement Fund, listen to this, $23.3 billion. Pennsylvania School Employee Retirement System, $2.6 billion. I'll get some of the bigger ones. Ohio Public Employees Retirement System, $10.8 billion. Oregon, I was actually surprised. Public Employee Retirement System, $5.7 billion. Virginia, $4.9. Texas County and District Retirement System, $3.5. And then New York City, another city fund, made just the five boroughs of New York City, $3.4 billion. That's on top of New York State Teachers Retirement System, which is $4.3 billion. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on, but you get the point that every state and every pension fund out there for 2010 has made massive, massive profits, which has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with employees or taxpayers. That is profit.
Well, John Green, it sounds like solvent doesn't quite make it in terms of describing the opulence of these so-called government entities. Would you dispute, John, the proposition that these governments we're talking about, like, say, the city of Salt Lake, are actually businesses, are actually corporations?
You know, I look more at how it impacts our theoretically representative government. So if I may just address that real quick.
Well, and let me tune things up a little bit. John is here as our privacy expert, one of the authorities, as far as I'm concerned, in the nation on privacy issues on the national ID. But John, the fusion centers and the federalized police force that they're going to coordinate are there to protect this system. They're to protect the profits. Go ahead.
That's exactly right. So, for example, let me just take one example, which is big, but let me then take the next example, which is much bigger. So each of these systems that Clint mentioned has highly paid, highly skilled lobbyists working both at the federal level. Remember, these are multi-billion dollar corporations as large as any private enterprise. So they have whole lobbying systems, departments, or consultants that they use to make sure that their power only consolidates further and grows. Now, let me give you an example that goes beyond that. Then you have things that those public pension systems invest into, companies that wouldn't even exist unless public pension systems funded them. Those companies, which are wholly creations of these pension systems, those companies then have lobbyists. Let me give you an example. A perfect one, it's the private contracting prison systems. I think their one is CCI, which is also widely held by certain large investing parties in Utah, and public pension systems. I won't say who that private party is out of Utah, but this is a prison contractor. Very interestingly, a lobbyist for that prison contractor is in the office of the chief of staff of the governor of Arizona. Another lobbyist of that contractor helped write Arizona's quote-unquote immigration law from last year. So here's the gig. Those companies have lobbyists. So let's take the Arizona immigration law, for example. The lobbyist of this prison contractor helped write the Arizona immigration law knowing that people would be detained even if it's temporarily, but the detention rate and the population would go up, raising their stock price. The only people really holding their stock is public pension funds.
Clint, this is the corporate governance line of the certified or comprehensive annual financial report you're talking about. This is the detail.
Absolutely, corporate governance, being proxy voting, which, again, controlling corporations. It's not only government corporations like you're talking about, but it's also all Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 companies and international companies. Also, they have massive real estate investments. You have no idea which malls, movie theaters, and all these things are actually owned by one pension fund or the other, or government investments, because you have to really dig to actually find the holdings report. But, one of the pension funds had about 30 different apartment buildings all across the country that they own outright through these investments. So your chances are you're living in a building if you're in an apartment, even housing that's owned by government.
And John, this is the organism that we small parasitical creatures live in. I mean, maybe we're the mitochondria in the cell. I don't know what the right metaphor is, but it is a business. It's neither business nor government. It's a kind of matrix of some kind. And I'm going to give you a stab at better defining it in simple lay terms when we come back on the Jack Stockwell Radio Program.
6:30 K-Talk. Utah's most experienced talk radio team, now at k-talk.com.
Tune in on Sundays at 4 p.m. to learn the latest cutting-edge science of health with your hosts Hugo Rodier, MD, and Gary Olson, DC, on the Integrative Health Show, sponsored by Pioneer Comprehensive Medical Clinic in Draper. Our country is suffering from poor health due to nutritional, environmental, and stress problems. Learn how to address these problems and not rely on symptomatic treatments that often have too many side effects. The Integrative Health Show, Sundays at 4 p.m. on KTalk AM 630.
Utah Yellow Pages designs and publishes the only true community phone books in Salt Lake City. We make it easier for customers to find businesses and profitable for businesses to find customers. We level the playing field for local companies to score local business. Everyone wins when we keep it local. Call Tanya and mention this ad for a special discount at 801-262-6411, 262-6411, or visit us online at myutahyellowpages.com today.
Well, here we go again. I think I'm tired of the snow already. I know, sacrilege, best snow on earth, all that kind of stuff. Well, fine, but when I look out my window, I'm thinking about stuff like I need to do this spring. Exterior work like the soffit and fascia and cement board and vinyl siding, custom metal chimney caps, decorative hoods, stuff like that. I thought I'd have to wait for spring, but I just found out that Salt Creek Builders will do all that exterior work right now. Hey, why wait? I mean, I don't want workers tromping through my newly planted veggie and flower gardens with you. Stuff all over the yard when I want to enjoy time outside with the family. I'm calling Salt Creek Builders today for a free estimate. Hey, it's a no-brainer. Prices are lower in the winter, so I can save time and money and have my exterior work done with quality, integrity, and value right now, and then be ready for all those other projects come springtime. Call Salt Creek Builders today, 801-641-5300. 801-641-5300. Salt Creek Builders, where quality meets affordability. 801-641-5300.
The Voice of Utah, AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
Oh, I can see there's another radio show that is in the works here, because we should have brought John on perhaps earlier, but there's so much to cover, and really bringing these two heavyweights together doesn't serve either one of them that well, but it may end up serving you, the listener, pretty well this morning. John, the job that I try to take on is to simplify without oversimplifying, without altering or making creating a model with a central error in it. That's hard to do because this thing is a cycle. It's comprehensive. As you've pointed out on other programs, it picks you up with a birth certificate, with a social security number right from the get-go, and that it'll take you to your grave. It'll incarcerate you. It'll take the blood out of your veins while you're working. If you become incarcerated, it'll take even more blood out of your veins and put you in a manufacturing setting. I don't want to take the words out of your mouth. What do you want to tell our audience about this thing we're living within here today?
Let me give one more example, and then I'll draw the metaphor that I think would be interesting, what you're looking for. So one more example is our state legislators, or state legislators in any state, do other things like create, sometimes they call them public-private partnerships, but what they really are private corporations. So, for example, the Port Authority of New York, that is actually a private corporation. It has a board of directors, which are appointed by the governor. For example, in Arizona, they're on the quote-unquote conservatives are on the verge of creating a Port Authority of New York in Arizona called the Arizona Economic Development Authority. It's the same thing. So it's a private corporation replacing the state's Department of Commerce. Now, the public pension funds can then buy the bonds of this government-created private corporation. The bonds issued by these authorities, they're called authorities with a capital A, like Tennessee Valley Authority. They issue bonds. Those bonds are underwritten by the taxpayer. They usually fail, at least in part, if not in whole, at some point. And so, therefore, the public pension funds get guaranteed taxpayer underwritten bonds of private corporations created by the state legislature. I mean, this is, and then the taxpayer, of course, insures it all. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
If I may add, too, a lot of these bonds that are floated, they're actually, people do not realize when they get a special financing district bond, it's a private company that generally issues the bond or funds the bond, and the state, county, city, whatever, actually puts the homes of the people within that municipality or that area where something's going to be built upon that bond, and put your homes up without you knowing it, put your homes up as the collateral against that bond. It's very frightening. If you look up special financing districts, it's a scary thing.
That's exactly right. It's I mean, it's a little bit finer tuned insofar as what they're doing is securitizing future income streams of the property tax revenue, projected property tax revenues. But if you actually read the contracts and you actually read the district creation, you know, whatever enacted that district, it does state that these bonds take essentially the first lien holder position on the general fund of the locality in which they're created, which means there's no way to defeat a property tax increase because if it's necessary, if the bonds fail, because it's a contract. So all the state Supreme Courts have been upholding these contracts above the wishes of the voters and saying that the contracts are inviolable. Now, Dale, to your point,
yeah,
there was a system last century very similar to this where a government created government created entities outside of the electoral system which existed by contract, had hold over local governments by contract, and which those governments were required to first satisfy before they could satisfy the voter. The word, and I don't mean to be dramatic here, but the word Soviet is a noun. A Soviet is a thing. It's a council.
Yes.
Literal translation means a council. And these councils were essentially private entities created outside of the electoral system by local and federal governments and state governments in the Soviet Union. And these councils, regional governments, had the first say on the expenditures of the local governments exactly the same way as any of these government-created entities here have first lien hold a position on local governments' budgets.
Oh, well, listen, I've got a yellow rope. I'm going to go over to the men's room and hang myself now and get this over. No, I'm just kidding. There's a holistic element aspect to this conversation that's just now being born here in the latter part of the hour as we have like 2.5 minutes. In other words, a comprehensiveness, folks, that I would like to serve better next time perhaps I substitute, if I do substitute again for Jack, where we bring in for a couple hours, bring John in and talk about the fact that the fusion centers, the federalized police, they're there as the backstop in case the media mind control fails and a general awareness spreads of the corporatocracy you live under. John, you're willing to come back and take a stab at drawing this whole picture with us sometime, I presume.
You bet. Just real quick on that.
Mm-hmm.
You go back, about 10 years, there was a CIA quadrennial report of threats to national security, and there was a Pentagon report about threats to national security. The CIA reported that economic stability with instability within the country, the United States, was the number one threat to the federal government. And so, obviously, immediately after that, we get Homeland Security and the Patriot Act. The Department of Defense said the same thing, but I think their bent was more detailed on food and rioting.
Mm-hmm.
And their recommendation was, of course, what resulted in NORTHCOM and the end of Posse Comitatus.
We're not trying, of course, to suborn civil disobedience of any particular kind or going nuts, but I'll just say it. If people do go nuts, they have every right to. I mean, in terms of their basic, the supply of food, the roof to keep the raindrops off of your head. I mean, the bank bailout itself would have paid all mortgages, commercial and private, in the United States, would have absolutely paid them in full. But this thing where the states and cities are going to renege on their pension obligations, possibly things like that, when they are opulently wealthy and they're claiming bankruptcy, prospectively, that's a good time to go nuts at that point. We're not suggesting violence or anything, but it is okay for an intelligent man to say, hey, I've just been pillaged.
Well, Dale, I think people need to remember that, and this, again, is without drama. This is in the very words of these government agencies, federal government agencies, that they feel, the federal government believes, on paper, no less, that the number one threat to the United States government are United States citizens.
Oh, they, hey, baby, that's what Homeland Security is all about. And as we go out onto break, John Green, say something to us in a nice East German dialect about the state security apparatus. Wish them well. Wish the bureaucrats well in German, John.
Staat Sicherheit grüßt
dich. All right. And auf Wiedersehen. We'll talk to you again, John Green. You're fabulous. Stay with us. Another hour coming up.
AM 630, K-Talk. Honest talk, serious solutions.
Arr, ahoy, mateys. Captain Zolti here. Have you been sailing around looking for that perfect golden deep-fried battered halibut and cod? Succulent, crisp, tasty fish prepared fresh from the galley? Then you need to dock your boat at Neil's Halibut and Seafood and Draper. Aye, I know what you're thinking. Tis a bit far from the ocean. Ha, trust old Captain Zolti here. He'll sail back into Neil's again and again for the homemade clam chowder. Parmesan halibut, grilled salmon, or try one of Neil's hidden treasures like seafood chimichanga, burst in with lobster meat, crab, and diced green chilies. Indulge yourself with crispy fish tacos and Neil's special recipe coleslaw. Arr, the old captain hasn't forgotten you landlubbers either. Neil's has tasty flame broiled burgers, tender chicken, and hearty sandwiches, plus all the sides. Get a cold one on tap or in the bottle. Trust the old captain, me hearties. Drop anchor at Neil's Halibut and Seafood and Draper at 122 East and 123rd South, just off I-59. Neil's Halibut and Seafood is open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Dine in or take out breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Needles does cooking right. See you there, matey. Arr.
Is your current bed uncomfortable? Do you toss and turn throughout the night? Are you suffering from back pain? Want the best night's sleep you have ever experienced? The Mattress Warehouse is having its biggest anniversary sale ever. How big? Really big. Drop into one of the Mattress Warehouse 4 Wasatch locations and try out any of their Sealy mattresses, America's number one best-selling mattress. There just isn't a better mattress for the price. You'll also find great prices on Stearns & Foster and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. The Mattress Warehouse guarantees the lowest price or your mattress is free. Ask about their sleep fit process that assures you'll experience the best night's sleep possible. In Salt Lake, the Mattress Warehouse is located at 7200 South State in Midvale and at 2120 South 300 West in Salt Lake City. You'll also find a Mattress Warehouse location at the District in South Jordan and Park City in Redstone Center at Kimball Junction. Call for directions to the Mattress Warehouse location nearest you, 801-562-BEDS. The number is easy to remember. The number is easy to remember, 801-562-BEDS, 801-562-BEDS.
You're listening to Utah's first number one talk station, K-Talk AM 630, KTKK Sandy, Salt Lake City. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
CNN Radio, I'm Matt Sherry. Shortly, Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is supposed to be flown to Houston. There, she'll begin rehabbing from the gunshot wound to her brain. CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta reports precautions are being taken to make sure the flight doesn't cause Giffords any problems.
You have to think of these transports really as sort of almost intensive care units in the sky. Dr. Ree mentioned he's going to be traveling. There'll be a nurse traveling. They're going to have resuscitation equipment on the plane.
Just yesterday, Giffords was taken outside for the first time since being shot. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair is defending his country's involvement in the Iraq War. As CNN's Pat St. Clair reports, Blair made a second appearance Friday before the country's independent Iraq inquiry.
Blair faced questions over whether he pressured a cabinet member to endorse the legality of the Iraq War, but he maintained ending Saddam Hussein's regime was necessary.
Supposing we just let Saddam carry on, would it really have been such a problem? My anxiety is that, yes, we cannot take that risk, that after September the 11th, the calculus of risk had to change and change fundamentally.
Blair first testified to the inquiry a year ago. He's back to clarify contradictions between what he said and what other documents have since revealed. Pat St. Clair, CNN.
Well, it looks like you're feeling a little better about the economy, but not by much. A new CNN poll says that 24% of Americans are optimistic about it, but that is up 6 points from back in November. The man in charge of cutting a huge deficit in Detroit schools has closed 59 of those schools so far, and Robert Bob tells CNN more could be on the way.
I'm going to close somewhere between 20, maybe 40 schools within the next few months.
In spite of all this, some school officials say Bob has still done little to trim the fat off the Detroit deficit. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Home Depot Renew and Redo Bath event, save on stylish bath updates, like a Savannah 24-inch cognac vanity set, valued at $249, now just $99, a price that'll transform your bathroom and leave room in your budget for even more improvements, like new faucets, lights, and paint. We're lowering the cost of makeovers now at the Bath event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. /US only. See store for details.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Does a rolling stone gather no moss? No moss. You're gonna have to trust me on this one.
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Now at the Home Depot Renew and Redo Bath event, save on stylish bath updates, like a Savannah 24-inch cognac vanity set, valued at $249, now just $99, a price that'll transform your bathroom and leave room in your budget for even more improvements, like new faucets, lights, and paint. We're lowering the cost of makeovers now at the Bath event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Is your family adequately protected against your death or incapacity? Would you like to protect your children's inheritance from judgments, a divorcing spouse, or even bankruptcy? Naturally, most people believe estate planning is about helping the rich avoid the tax man or helping the elderly distribute their assets at death. However, an even greater benefit can be the incapacity planning, probate avoidance, and family protection and privacy aspects of a good estate plan. Call Jim Alder of Alder & Rob today at 801-463-2600, where we take the time to listen to your concerns and aspirations and assume that your situation is unique. We'll customize your estate plan to ensure that it will protect you and your family from incapacity, probate, and the tax man. Go to our website today at www.alderrob.com or call Jim Alder at 801-463-2600, where estate planning is not about what you own, but what you value.
Am I advice for those who die? Declare the pennies on your eyes.
Hey, this is Tim, your host of Buy Back America Radio here on K-Talk Radio, AM 630. K-Talk and I decided that we would reward our listeners with something very special for Valentine's. So I teamed up with American-owned businesses, the businesses that matter in your community, like Texas Roadhouse in Sandy, the Avon Retail Store in American Fork, Flower Patch with 8 locations serving you. We decided we wanted to help people have a great Valentine's. So all you have to do is send me your love story, and we'll pick winners on Valentine's Day to pick up a pre-made Valentine's package. We'll be giving out Valentine's gifts all day to different callers. You can send me that at tim@buybackamerica.com. tim@buybackamerica.com. As I said, all I want to hear is your love story, and you have a chance to win Valentine's on Buy Back America Radio with K-Talk.
Broadcasting live from the KTKK studios in Salt Lake City, Utah, this is the Jack Stockwell radio program. To contact Jack from Salt Lake City, dial 254-5855. And now the consummate voice of sense and sensibility himself, Jack Stockwell.
Hey, we've got a heck of a task in front of us, which is to let Mike Gatti, I guess Michael Gatti, say his piece, which you're not going to like. If you particularly have grown up in the culture of the Wasatch Front, and I grew up in a somewhat distant version of that culture, you know, we were taught to venerate some people
and their ideas and the documents that came out of their ideas a couple hundred some odd years ago, we were taught that the whole thing was devised by deity to some extent, and that the product of the Constitutional Convention is not to be questioned, all that sort of thing. It's very close to the canon of Scripture. Some of those premises might be rattled a little bit by what we're going to talk about today. I don't want to steal his thunder, but Michael Gaddy is a 30-year veteran of the United States Army, spent his last 4 years working for the NSA, which makes him an interesting guest by itself. But he's not just an Army vet, he's a Special Forces Army vet and a very savvy guy. He was he's remarkably good writer, an A-class writer, in my opinion, that was featured very frequently on LouRockwell.com, which is rarefied air. You know, it's hard to get on that website as a contributing writer. He doesn't appear to be so welcome there since his writings have served the reality that we're going through a little bit more closely. In other words, the idea that it's gotten so bad, the political culture in this country, that we have to look at the prospect of civil disobedience. Mike wrote about that. It didn't appear to get a really welcome reception on that website run by Lou Rockwell. To heck with them, I say. Let's have Mike Gaddy. Let's have the writings of Mike Gaddy and people like him. Mike, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Dale. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. You're speaking to us from Colorado, I presume?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. We have in studio Clint Richardson, who is a friend of mine, will be a friend of yours someday when we get together on one of your travels up here. Clint produced the documentary The Corporation Nation. He's going to contribute to the discussion today with questions and comments. But where I want to start, and I want to give you free rein for a while here, Mike, it is slowly dawning on me at age 50 that there was a schism among the people who fought off the British and gave us the opportunity to form our own government. There was a rift, a schism between two factions of the revolutionaries. And what's slowly dawning on me is that the differences, the ideological, political differences between those two camps were irreconcilable. Speak to that, if you would.
Well, you're exactly correct. I sometimes say it was the difference between the Plato and the Aristotle forces. We today are experiencing a runaway tyrannical government, and yet our Constitution has been in play for this entire period. So we have to ask ourselves, why are we experiencing this tyranny? Why are we seeing socialism at a large scale? Why are we seeing these things if we have this protective document that we've believed for most of our adult lives has been there to prevent just such a thing happening? And either we have to say that it's the people that we've put in office that have caused this, who have failed to abide by their oath to the Constitution, or we have to say that the Constitution itself had some faults. And if you really spend some years studying that, and believe me, it takes years, you will find that our great document, the Constitution, that so many people believe is the great silver bullet against tyrannical government, is in fact not what we think it is. This was seen by some of the members of our country as long as 140 years ago, because let's look at what Lysander Spooner said back in 1870. He said, "The Constitution has either authorized such a government as we have had, or it has been powerless to prevent it." If you look back at the history, we see that basically this Constitution was brought on by the mercantile class and was basically fought by the agrarian class, including Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, and many others. George Washington, our first president, and was also a farmer, but he fell in with the mercantile class, greatly under the influence of Alexander Hamilton.
Well, we just spent an hour last hour talking about the mercantile class and the world that they have created, basically without opposition. I mean, that opposition died away, Mike, as you're well aware. But let's talk about what the nature of the opposition was, as you recall from your readings, when it was still alive, when the discourse was still lively and there was a prospect of having a United States that was true to the revolution, what did people like Patrick Henry have to say about the other side, the mercantile side of this thing?
Well, he warned from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, he saw the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia for what it was, and he refused to attend. And he used his now famous quote, "I smell a rat." When we look at Patrick Henry in history, we think of the gentleman who delivered that great speech that ended with "Give me liberty or give me death." But there's so much more to Patrick Henry. So many things that he did and the way he objected to the Constitution. And yet our school children aren't taught that in school today. If anyone mentions Patrick Henry in reference to our founding fathers, it's for the speech, "Give me liberty or give me death." He fought against the Constitution in the Virginia Ratification Convention. There was 23 days of the convention in Virginia, and he spoke 17 of those days, one day for over 7 hours. Now, can anyone imagine a statesman today speaking for 7 hours without notes, without a teleprompter, and without speechwriter?
Well, and the speeches that we have in hand today that came from his mouth were often recorded by somebody who's jotting them down as fast as they could. I mean, they are beautiful and eloquent and probably powerful, but they were probably even better in their original form, I would think.
Well, I'm sure. He was quite the orator. He got, I believe, his oratorical skills from the Reverend Samuel Davies, who he attended his class in his church for 11 years. And Davies was a great orator. And Patrick saw what was coming. He saw the infringements. He saw the loopholes in the Constitution. He saw the class that was moving to produce this Constitution. And so he railed against it. And
Well, Mike, let me ask you this as well. I mean, a lot of the Constitution was already extant in something called the Virginia Plan. Am I correct?
Well, the Virginia Plan was actually written by and produced by James Madison, and he gave it to Edmund, I'm trying to remember his name now, pardon me for not remembering, but he was the governor, Pendleton. He gave it to him, and Pendleton introduced it at the Constitution Convention, but it was voted down. I mean, it was very, very, very much worse than what we see today in our present-day Constitution.
Okay.
It was, you got to remember, these people were nationalists. Mm-hmm. They called themselves Federalists, and they were not Federalists, they were Nationalists. And they called the Anti-Federalists by that name, Anti-Federalists, and in fact, they were Federalists. So you almost needed a scorecard to keep up with the game.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, we see the perversion of language like we do today. An Anti-Federalist was actually a Federalist who wanted a confederation of states,
mm-hmm.
And we had the Nationalists who didn't want that, and the Nationalists also fought a Bill of Rights.
Well, that's undoubtedly because the Federalists wanted to turn the meaning of that word over into an all-powerful central government. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that not similar to the fact that the word liberal has actually been completely turned on its side and actually means the opposite of what it used to?
Well, it is an Orwellian world we live in.
Yes. Yes. But anyway, so Patrick Henry was using all of his public notoriety, his cachet, and the fact that he survived without getting a rope around his neck during the revolution. I mean, he was using every resource to try to stop this process that gave us the Constitution of the United States. That's what you're saying, Mike?
Oh, that's it. And let's look at Samuel Bryan, who wrote some anti-federalist papers as the Sentinel. And let me read an excerpt from one of his presentations in which he said, and I quote, "That system which was pompously displayed as the perfection of government proves upon examination to be the most odious system of tyranny that was ever projected, a many-headed hydra of despotism whose complicated and various evils would be infinitely more oppressive and afflictive than the scourge of any tyrant.
Here's our break. Let's come back with Mike Gatti.
AM 630, K-Talk, Utah's independent radio voice for 45 years.
Prices Guaranteed Doors is having its 27th anniversary sale. We are rolling back prices to $19.84. Remember, you could buy a hamburger for a quarter, a gallon of milk for only 50 cents. How about a new two-car garage door installed, including tax, for only $500? Get a single garage door for only $299. Be one of the next 10 callers, and we will take down your old garage door and haul it away free. That's a $70 value. Every new garage door sold gets a free lifetime maintenance program worth $259. Don't wait. We can't offer these prices for long. Call Prices Doors today. Be 100% satisfied from the moment you call till everything is done. Call to get on our schedule. Call 975-7575. That's 975-7575. We are the door specialists since 1984. Prices Doors, from Brigham City to St. George. We come to you.
Hey listeners, if you thought airport security was a breach of privacy, you're not going to believe this. The biggest assault on your Fourth Amendment rights has been going on right under your nose for 40 years, and you, like the frog in the pot, have gotten comfortable as the heat got turned up. What am I talking about? The credit ripoff and scoring game. In case you didn't know, the purpose of credit scoring is to make banks and insurance companies more profitable at your expense. If your gut tells you there's something wrong with this system, you better listen. This affects everyone. Good credit, bad credit, go to radio.ficologic.com and register for the Credit Education Seminar of the Decade and get a free report on the $45 million class action lawsuit that will jolt you out of your trance. The only cost is a donation to the food bank as you enter the seminar. There are simple, easy-to-understand solutions to the problem, and you'll get tons of free information and expert strategy just for attending, especially if you file bankruptcy, had a foreclosure or short sale, or may do so. Register now. If you want to cut the strings from the puppet masters at FICO and the big three credit bureaus, go to radio.ficologic.com and see what this is all about. That's www.radio.ficologic.com. Register now. Seating is limited.
The Voice of Utah. AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
Long distance information. Give me Memphis.
We're right back with Michael Gatti on the line from Colorado and Clint Richardson with us in studio. Mike, I hope we didn't cut in and chop off that quotation. Why don't you pick up from there and carry on?
Well, what we had at the time was basically, this was all about money, guys. It was about a better way of collecting money. And the reason for that was, if you go back and you study Shays' Rebellion, Massachusetts had raised the taxes to pay their war debt, and when the people didn't have the means to pay those taxes, their property was seized. The people got upset, and they rebelled, and of course, Alexander Hamilton and his cohorts were able to raise an army of 13,000 men and go in and take over from that rebellion. But still, we had the basic problem. And after that, the next election in Massachusetts, there was an overhaul. The people voted in other people to protect their property rights. So we had a... it's all about money, and if you go back and read the correspondence between George Washington and John Jay and others, Washington sent a letter to John Jay in which he said, the Articles of Confederation are weak because they do not give us the power to coerce. And if we consider Jefferson's definition of liberty was the absence of coercion, then we see where this started from the very beginning.
You know, I can understand. With you and I spoke off air about it for about an hour the other day, and I sat and thought afterwards. I can understand why these guys occasionally would shoot at each other, because
oh, yes.
as my model becomes more complex or, you know, more detailed about what was going on back then, these were fighting words. This was 25,000 guys died, thousands others wounded, people dying in prison, British prison barges, on the promise, explicit and implicit, that there would be local control. That was what the revolution was about. That's what the Jeffersons wanted. And then these people like Hamilton, he's the most famous of them, I suppose, but they pulled the old bait and switch when the war is won.
Oh, definitely. I would like to, one of the things I remember was Patrick Henry's objections, and he was talking about what would become of the country. And John Marshall, who ended up being the fourth Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and probably did as much to pervert individual rights as any person who ever wore the black robe, he countered one of Patrick Henry's speeches, and he countered it with these words. And this, I have always thought, what he says, according to Patrick Henry, the officers of the government will be screened from merited punishment by the federal judiciary. The federal sheriff, says he, will go into a poor man's house and beat him or abuse his family, and the federal courts will protect him. Does any gentleman believe this? Is it necessary that the officers will commit a trespass on the property of persons of those of whom they are to transact business?
Oh my gosh.
Will such great insults on the people be allowable? Were a law made to authorize them, it would be void. Patrick Henry had warned about the federal sheriffs. And we have to understand that the founders, and especially the anti-federalist or the federalist, actually envisioned the bureaucracy that we face in this country today. 43 federal agencies that are armed. And a lot of people find that hard to believe, but there are 43 federal agencies that actually carry arms.
Have you? I understand that there's something like 3,000 or 4,000 pieces of correspondence from the hand of Thomas Jefferson available today. Is that approximately correct?
Yes, there was something over 3,000 letters. It's if anyone should ever be able to avail themselves to read those, they are absolutely fantastic. They are a written history that varies differently from the history that we're taught.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, go ahead, Dad.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where I was driving. Sorry, I have had a little too much coffee, but, I mean, it must form a chronicle. I'm ignorant of the contents of most of those correspondence, but they must chronicle this process, which in my mind was a coup.
Oh, most definitely, and it's probably, you know, and I refer to the Constitution sometimes as a Trojan horse, and that upsets people to no end, as you might well imagine. But if people really want to look, go to the powers that are granted under Article 1, Section 8 of our Constitution, go to that, read that, and then please define for me any limits on Congress whatsoever. There are absolutely no limits placed on Congress in Article 1, Section 8. I've read it many times. I can't find them. I would hope that someone else could show me where there are any limitations whatsoever. And then if you take John Marshall's Supreme Court and in Marbury versus Madison, they said that the only people who could interpret the Constitution was the Supreme Court. And then we a later decision, I think it was McCulloch, if I'm not mistaken, that says that all the powers granted to Congress are implied powers, and there are many more powers that aren't listed.
Hey, Mike, you know, Clint, I wish I would have met you about six months ago or so when all of this started occurring to me as I was doing my own research, and you could have cleared it up, but instead I had to go through the whole darn Constitution and look for certain things that pointed to exactly what you're talking about. And I completely concur to you now, and that's one of my platforms now is, hey, We gotta get rid of this romanticized opinion of what the Constitution is. What you mentioned Spooner earlier, and you know his document that I actually read was called the Constitution of No Authority, which actually you know states that the Constitution actually doesn't even have power for the people. The people can't use it because it's not a contract. It's not a it's not something that I agreed to. I didn't sign anything. It has no power, and the courts have ruled that I can't use that constitution in a court of law to defend myself. Is that correct?
Oh, that's most assuredly correct. Sorry that I didn't get to hear your part of the show, Clint, but you said corporate America, and I'm sure you touched on the preamble to the Constitution of where it starts off with "We, the people of the United States," and ends with "Establish this Constitution for the United States of America." And you probably defined for the folks the difference between the United States and the United States of America.
You know, I didn't get into that, the more esoteric stuff. I actually usually stick to the actual financial reports from government, but that's a very, very key issue that I'm probably going to tackle in my next documentary.
Well, if you look under 28 U.S.C. 300215A, it states that the United States is a corporation.
Absolutely. I've got a whole blog entry about that on my blog as well. I wanted to ask you one other thing because, you know, I came across the takings clause, which I think is probably the most important thing because, as you were mentioning earlier, you mentioned, you know, that they were taking away people's property. And I think a lot of people think that the Constitution actually changed that somehow. But if you could talk about the takings clause for me, I'd appreciate it.
Well, it's exactly what you're saying is it did not change anything with Congress. And if I could, let me jump one point that I wanted to make about Patrick Henry, Clint, when I was talking about Article 1, Section 8, we have the Necessary and Proper Clause. Patrick Henry said that the Necessary and Proper Clause will be the door through which all manners of evil shall pass. Now, as we look back at the Federalist and we look back at the Anti-Federalist, who was right?
Yeah, well, that's why we've got you on, Mike, this morning. And if you're just joining us at the bottom of the hour here, folks, we've got Mike Gaddy, the 30-year U.S. Army vet and Special Forces vet. He's a great writer. Punch his name into Google. A lot of articles will come up, and you'll be the better for taking a look at it. But it's a funny position that the three of us are in here this morning, Michael Gaddy, as I guess we're iconoclasts because our whole generation, a couple generations before that, several generations before that, and myself certainly, we're brainwashed to look to this document as a kind of secular scripture and to start our reasoning from it as a basis, as an epistemological, you know, rock, without question, and that all of our woes are from departing from it. But it hasn't served us. I mean, you talk about money. That war that happened, where 630,000 Americans lost their lives, the Constitution didn't create much of a barrier to that, and that was all about a tax being imposed by the industrial North on the agrarian South. So finally it did come to shooting outright, didn't it? I mean, is not the war between the states finally the collision between these two concepts, these two theories of government we're trying to describe?
Oh, without a doubt. That is actually the culmination of all of that. And then if you go back to the War of Northern Aggression, you will see that from that point on, our history basically changed. And you make a great point there because we go back to Lincoln, who said that the states actually existed, that the country actually existed before the states did. And, of course, this was baffling to many people. But there were three states, Virginia, Rhode Island, and New York, believe it or not, that had in their ratification documents some rather strange language. And if I could, I would like to read you some of that. Do we have enough time right now?
You bet. Carry on.
Okay. It says, "We, the delegates of the people of Virginia, duly elected in pursuance of a recommendation from the General Assembly, and now met in convention, having fully and freely investigated and discussed the proceedings of the Federal Convention, and being prepared as well as the most mature deliberation hath enabled us, to decide thereon, do, in the name and in behalf of the people of Virginia, declare and make known that the powers granted under the Constitution, being derived from the people of the United States, may be resumed by them whensoever the same shall be perverted to their injury or oppression, and that every power not granted thereby remains with them and at their will. So Virginia, Rhode Island, and New York stated in their ratification that if at any time the federal government went against their purposes, against their best interest, that they could withdraw.
Oh, that's a blockbuster, Mike Gatti. I'm going to come back at you on that same subject on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
AM 630, K-Talk. When you're talking ethics, integrity, and honesty, you're talking K-Talk.
How much does TurboTax cost you? Did you know that millions of Americans who file their own tax returns pay the wrong amount? Just ask Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, who missed a $14,847 in self-employment tax using TurboTax to file his own return. Tax preparation software helps you fill out the forms, but software is just a tool, not a solution. You still have to know how to use it. Sure, you can buy your own scalpel, but does that qualify you to take out your own appendix? Call now for professional tax preparation from Hal Rosen, CPA, 801-288-1222. That's 801-288-1222.
Is your current bed uncomfortable? Do you toss and turn throughout the night? Are you suffering from back pain? Want the best night's sleep you have ever experienced? The Mattress Warehouse is having its biggest anniversary sale ever. How big? Really big. Drop into one of the Mattress Warehouse 4 Wasatch locations and try out any of their Sealy mattresses, America's number one best-selling mattress. There just isn't a better mattress for the price. You'll also find great prices on Stearns & Foster and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. The Mattress Warehouse guarantees the lowest price or your mattress is free. Ask about their sleep fit process that assures you'll experience the best night's sleep possible. In Salt Lake, the Mattress Warehouse is located at 7200 South State in Midvale and at 2120 South 300 West in Salt Lake City. You'll also find a Mattress Warehouse location at the District in South Jordan and Park City in Redstone Center at Kimball Junction. Call for directions to the Mattress Warehouse location nearest you, 801-562-BEDS. The number is easy to remember. The number is easy to remember. 801-562-BEDS. 801-562-BEDS.
He lied to me. He promised that if I made the investment, our money would be safe. But it was a lie. Now we find all our money is gone. Gone! And all they give us are excuses.
After we learned our investment had gone bad, we were too shocked and embarrassed to tell anyone. But we finally decided to call an attorney. Boy, I'm glad we did. It made all the difference in the world. We discovered ways to actually get our money back.
Have you lost investment money because someone lied to you and mismanaged your funds? The Utah Litigation Center helps victims of investment fraud recover their money. Often, you pay no attorney fees unless we get your money back. Request a free evaluation. Call us toll-free, 866-UTAH-LAW, or visit our website and see for yourself at 866-UTAH-LAW.com. We've recovered millions for people just like you. You're not helpless any longer. Call Utah Litigation Center right now at 866-UTAH-LAW, or visit our website at 866-UTAH-LAW.com. We can help right now.
The Voice of Utah. AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
Well, I can tell that I've bitten off more than I can chew here today in terms of vital information, but we're going to do the best we can. I'm also dealing with my own mind reeling about the falsehoods that I was indoctrinated with about the founding of my own country. But Mike Gatti, getting back to this thing where Virginia, Rhode Island, and New York, they're joining, they're acquiescing or signing off on the Constitution was provisional. They built in law, the right, they were very explicit about their right to come into that contract and to leave it. And I'm thinking the rest of the states probably thought, well, this thing is all voluntary anyway. Why even have to put something like that in writing? That seems implicit to me. But here we have three states, particularly Virginia, which should and ought to have been a nation state of its own by every standard, just making sure that everybody was kept honest and said, there's nothing that binds us to this. If it becomes oppressive, we may leave. That's what you're saying here.
Oh, definitely, and I think one thing we have to understand is that these three states were admitted with this caveat. So we would understand, or at least to me, it would be that all other states would have the equal rights as mentioned by these three states, and either the states have the right to secession or they were never states.
Well, in the law, don't we call that a stipulation, what
yes.
they did?
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just ridiculous, and so where do we go here, Mike? I mean, the point of our, in my mind, was to try to shed some light on really something that happened in antiquity here, but it's so important that Thomas Jefferson and the people he represented, he was the greatest of the great men and the greatest spokesperson in the greatest written apologist for this patrimony that they were trying to pass down to us, the fruit of the fighting, of the battle, of all the suffering of the revolution, and they failed. And it wasn't for giving it, not giving it their all, but they failed because they were up against apparently a larger, more powerful faction that had a very unscrupulous ethos working in it. People like Hamilton and what have you, who would do anything, say anything. It's a tragedy that we're trying to illuminate here, Mike.
Well, one of the things I think bears some viewing and some discussion is the fact that when Jefferson was elected president in 1800, the Northern mercantilists mounted a secession movement to secede from the United States.
Because they hated him so much.
Well, they feared the fact that suddenly they had two straight Federalist presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And although Jefferson is very seldom ever called an anti-Federalist, he did want and support a Republican form of government. Well, we had just had Adams with the Alien and Sedition Act,
mm-hmm.
which made it a felony to speak against the government. And of course, Jefferson and Madison responded with the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Adams made the Alien and Sedition Act to expire the day he left office, which was rather strange.
Mm.
He did it just to protect himself, obviously. So then we had Jefferson, who came to power, and then suddenly all the Northern mercantilists, especially at Massachusetts, wanted to secede. So we're taught in our books that it was South Carolina that was the first state that ever sought secession, but it's wrong. And in his first inaugural address, Thomas Jefferson addressed this feeling and basically said, go if you will, because our country must exist upon the consent of the governed. So if you feel like that you need to leave, then go.
Well, there is a polarity, if ever I saw one. That's Jeffersonianism versus Abraham Lincoln right there. Clint, is your sense that this Bill of Rights was just a bone thrown to the anti-federalists, and that it itself was a pretty phony document too?
Well, again, I mean, I say the whole thing, just similar to Mike here, I say the whole thing was absolutely a bone, and mm-hmm. it had no, as Spooner said, had no authority, never did, and never will. And, you know, as far as my limited research on this particular subject goes, I understand that the Constitution was actually suspended in the 1930s by the Emergency War Powers and Emergency Banking Acts, and that it isn't even necessarily a viable document in that regard either nowadays.
Well, Mike, what purpose is the Constitution serving then? Is it just there to pacify us, like a sort of a, or is it like
Absolutely.
A cape? Is it a red cape, like a bullfighter? Just, you know, they wave it in front of the bull, and we're the bull. What's the deal?
Well, it's basically a pacifier, because how many people in this country today firmly believe that if we could just get these people back to the Constitution, we would be a free people again?
Oh. Too many.
So you're believing on something that really is not there. It's a hope, and people are saying, oh, if we could just get a constitutional candidate, if we could just get this, that, or the other. But the unfortunate part of this is the fact that the federal government is always the arbiter of its own powers. And for anyone to believe that the executive, the judicial, and the legislative actually oppose each other in any real fashion, all you have to do is sit and watch C-SPAN for a while or read the news, and you understand that they really don't oppose each other.
Well, I mean, that's it right there. That's the fundamental flaw. You can't have a government that describes the scope of its own power, defines it. And this business of the competing powers, or however they used to say that in school, you know, the self-defeating mechanism, it's a lot of hooey. That Ben Franklin quote that you told me, is that probably legitimate, his response to, you know, when he was asked about the Constitution? Tell us about that, Mike.
Well, I got that from Robert LaFay.
Okay.
I quote him in quoting Franklin. He said that Franklin was handed the Constitution in its total written form after the convention was over, and they asked him what he thought of it, and he said, "I can find only three things wrong with the Constitution, and that's the legislative, the executive, and the judicial." And he actually forwarded a copy of this document to a jurist in London that he thought the most he had great faith in this particular jurist, and he sent him a copy of the American Constitution and asked for his opinions. And when he received the reply back, it was very short, and it simply said, "All sail, no anchor."
Yeah, yeah, indeed. No, all the barriers down. Well, Mike and Clint, we've got a couple callers. We got some time. I don't want to displace any vital issue that you wanted to touch on, though, Mike, before we go in and take a couple calls. So is there anything in this short period here that we have together that you most certainly want to convey to the audience before that?
Well, one thing I would like to get back to very briefly, if
sure,
I can, I'd
absolutely
like to touch on it if I had more time, was Clint's bringing up of the takings clause. But I would like to relate that to what we're seeing today, and the fact in America, just a few short years ago, we gave the banking institutions in this country billions of dollars in taxpayer money, and now these corporations who received all of our tax money are now performing illegal foreclosures all over our country and taking the sustenance of the people, and they're doing it with the money that the people gave them, that the government gave them, that belonged to the people in the first place.
Well,
that's just an extension of that takings clause.
And the takings clause is what allows eminent domain to be legal.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Well, who
and
was
that's
it?
That's the
who,
Fifth
who,
Amendment, by
who,
the way.
Who was it that said we would end up as serfs on the country, on the land that our fathers had conquered? I guess it was Father Jefferson, wasn't it?
Well, that's true, and then you go back to Alexis de Tocqueville, and his famous comment on the Constitution was that it would serve us for approximately 200 years, and after that it would revert to complete despotism.
Well, these were smarter guys than the typical bear. Doggone it, we're coming up to a break in about a minute here. Before we dive into calls, Mike, I mean, the other thing that stuck with me from our private conversation is the bitter appraisal that you made, and so apt, I think, of the phoniness of putting "we the people," you know, the "we the people" thing, conjoining it with this document. You want to speak to that briefly?
Well, it was an absolute fabrication. How could 50 some people, 41 of whom were lawyers, and the fact that only 39 signed the document, we had 55 there, 14 refused to sign it. Whoever talks about the 14 that refused to sign it? But still, we had that document begin with "We the People," which was written by 49 people or 39 people out of a nation of 3.9 million. How could they claim to be "We the People"?
All right, let's come back with Mike Gatti, Clint Richardson. This is the Jack Stockwell Radio Program. Jack will be back Monday. Stay with us.
AM 630, K-Talk. We live where you live. We shop where you shop. Thanks for supporting the sponsors of K-Talk Radio.
It's so cold now. Time to service or replace your old furnace? Save time and money. Call Acme Heating and Air Conditioning, offering superior service and installation unmatched in the industry. No patchwork here. We always strive to repair before we replace. If it's time for a new furnace or boiler, we offer quality at pricing that will leave you smiling. We mean it. If a competitor has serviced your heating or cooling system in the past year, we'll credit 50% of what you paid, up to $500 towards a new Acme Heating or Air Conditioning system. And while supplies last, have a new single-stage 95% efficiency rated furnace installed for as little as $1,500. Receive a free humidifier with the installation of any new furnace, plus a 2-year parts and labor warranty and emergency 24-hour service. Cash in on the huge tax and utility credits. Call Acme today, 801-467-1050, for upfront pricing with no surprises. Call today, 801-467-1050, 801-467-1050.
Hey, this is Jake the Computer Guy from PC Laptops. You've seen it on the news. Malware and spyware infections are at an all-time high, and no brand of computer is 100% immune. Many protection programs don't protect you from everything, so people and companies are losing billions of dollars in data and cherished memories. Thieves are stealing social security numbers and personal information. At PC Laptops, we've been removing these evil computer diseases for over 16 years. Is your hard drive clicking? Did your kids drop your laptop or spill something on it? Did a bad person sabotage your computer? Did you know that we can recover data from most crashed hard drives? We can help. If your desktop or laptop is acting slow or strange, or just dead, bring it into PC Laptops right now for a free scan and evaluation, no matter what brand it is. In fact, we're so good, if we can't fix it, we'll buy it from you. Get into any one of our 9 PC Laptops locations right now, or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE, or check us out at PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we really love you!
Hi, honey, I'm home.
What the heck?
I know. Here.
It's been 6 weeks.
They should have called a closet butler. All of their jobs are typically completed in just 1 or 2 days, using the best quality materials with a lifetime warranty. The Closet Butler is family owned and locally operated by Brian and Steve Sappler, with over 20 years of creating solutions for folks just like you. Call the Closet Butler for your free in-home design consultation. At the Closet Butler, their goal is to exceed your expectations, no matter how big or how small your job will be. The Closet Butler has solved the organization and storage solutions in homes and garages for thousands of happy customers along the Wasatch Front. See their work for yourself at theclosetbutler.com. Then call Brian and Steve for your appointment today and get organized now. And here's the best news. K-Talk listeners get an instant 15% discount. So make your free in-home appointment right now. Call the Closet Butler, 801-532-4224. 801-532-4224.
The Voice of Utah. AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name?
All right, I guess the title of this hour may have How You Been Shined by the public school, the snow job, whatever you want to call it. We're talking about the Great Schism, the irreconcilable difference between the anti-federalists and the federalists, the people who were true to the revolution, who were the anti-federalists in my view, and the people who wanted to have a real tough, hardened, centralized, authoritarian state. And the latter party won the battle, unfortunately, but the battle's never over as long as the memory of what happened is there. Let's bring on Elaine for a question, and I want Clint to circle back in here as well, my friend Clint Richardson in studio, and just give us a couple highlights towards the end of the program about what the mature beast that was given life by Alexander Hamilton and company, what the mature beast looks like in fiscal terms. But first, Elaine, what's on your mind? Elaine,
am I on?
Yes, you are. Fire away.
Okay. I guess I have more of a comment than a question. I'll try to be fast. I know we don't have much time, but I have been studying the history behind the Constitution for some time now, and I have learned a lot. And I will just summarize really quickly what I've learned, and that is that what motivated the people that came across the Atlantic to settle this new land here in America and to establish the Republic was they were getting away from a monitor system, which was, it was, this is a simplified version, but it was simplified to make it more understandable, that like a privatized, kind of like a privatized bank.
What, you're talking about British mercantilism, I think.
Right.
Right, the triangle of trade.
Well,
let me finish talking.
Okay, now this monetarist system, what it did is it practiced colonialism and for the benefit of their own profit.
Right. Okay, because we're short on time, Elaine, I'm going to let Mike respond to that, and you can listen off the air, and that it's an excellent point. We've got to compress things a little bit. Mike, that's, you know, slavery, when the British Navy put an end to the slave trade, it was because they already had a replacement. Did they not? And it was their mercantile system. And I think the lady has a great point. We've got the ring back in the nose, right back in the nose.
Very well said. And most of the anti-federalists saw this. They saw that what we were returning to was the system of despotism that we had just fought a war to free ourselves from.
Okay, let's take one more call here from Bob, Bob in Salt Lake City. Go ahead.
Yes, this is for Mike. Sir, with all of the anomalies and idiosyncrasies that you've brought up about our Constitution, would you conclude from those that the precept of believing that the Constitution of the United States of America was divinely inspired, like some faiths believe?
I'm sorry, could you, what was the question there, Dale? I'm sorry, I missed part of that.
Well, the caller is asking you to comment on a very, very common premise here out west, at least, that the Constitution in its composition is a divinely inspired document.
Do you believe that?
No, sir, I do not.
I see. Are you an atheist?
No, sir.
Here's the here comes the loyalty test. Okay, thanks, Bob. Thanks, caller Bob.
Hey, you know,
do you believe in Jesus? I guess.
If I can make a comment, it might have been divinely inspired by the king or queen of England.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what's divinely inspired is a bayonet on the end of a musket in the hands of a soldier wearing blue.
One of the things I would like for the gentleman to research, and he's probably still listening, is please research how many times in 3 months that the Constitutional Convention opened with a prayer. And then I would ask him, is he an atheist?
Right. And just for the record, Mike Gaddy, you're a believing Christian, I believe.
Oh, you better believe it, buddy.
That's right. Well, and you've had the chance to test your faith in places. Hey, but let me. We've only got a couple minutes. Clint, give us a couple highlights, and I think Mike will indulge us here. We are living cheek by jowl, or as part of the beast, the fully evolved beast that these people like Hamilton inseminated. Pardon me. Just throw us a couple of the high points about what they hold, how much power fiscally, financially they hold. You got a couple of goodies there.
Well, we're talking about over $100 trillion in assets across the country, and that's $26 trillion of that is just the pension funds. But let's just cover one single government, the county government, which is separate from all other governments within the state. Mm-hmm. So Salt Lake County, the county's government-wide net assets, the amount which assets exceed its liabilities. Salt Lake County, as of December 31st, 2009, I haven't seen the new report, were $897 million. Okay? Right. Now, important to understand is some of that money is in buildings and construction and all that. But the portion of net assets, which I just mentioned, which was $897 million, which represents the amount the county can use to meet ongoing financial obligations, is called unrestricted net assets. I'm reading this right out of the CAFR report. This amount was $82.7 million at December 31st, 2009. In other words, that could have been used to pay anything, including all of the property taxes that they raised and any other taxes that they raised.
I'm afraid now, all we've got time left for it, and I will have to give you another shot, Clint, but Mike Gaddy, how do people get in touch with you or read your work, and then we'll give Clint's contact data as well. Fire away.
Well, if they go to any, put in my name into Google, and you'll come up with my articles at one of two locations, usually priceoffreedom.org or Lou Rockwell. My archives are still there. And at the bottom of any of those articles, there will be a link that says send him mail. All you have to do is click on that, and you can send me any email. I would look forward to any and everyone's response.
All right. Thanks, Mike. That is a great American, not a Sean Hannity or some other bum that's paid by these corporations. Clint, thecorporationnation.com, right?
Yes, sir. And you can go to my blog at realityblogger1g.wordpress.com.
Utah's oldest, most trusted talk station.
Is your family adequately protected against your death or incapacity? Would you like to protect your children's inheritance from judgments, a divorcing spouse, or even bankruptcy? Naturally, most people believe estate planning is about helping the rich avoid the tax man or helping the elderly distribute their assets at death. However, an even greater benefit can be the incapacity planning, probate avoidance, and family protection and privacy aspects of a good estate plan. Call Jim Alder of Alder & Robb today at 801-463-2600, where we take the time to listen to your concerns and aspirations and assume that your situation is unique. We'll customize your estate plan to ensure that it will protect you and your family from incapacity, probate, and the tax man. Go to our website today at www.alderrobb.com or call Jim Alder at 801-463-2600, where estate planning is not about what you own, but what you value.
My advice for those who
do you love getting great value almost as much as you love great food? You'll discover both at Madeline Steakhouse and Grill. Family-owned and operated, your hosts Adam and Renee Wheaton take pride in providing the exceptional dining experience for lunch, dinner, banquets, and catering. From the moment you arrive, it's obvious that Madeline Steakhouse and Grill is no franchise. Everything about Madeline's, from the ambiance to the mouth-watering steaks,